One other announcement I was going to make, and I mentioned it in Bible class this morning, but last Lord's Day morning, after worship and going out the door, Carmenia, so many of you know, she used to live living across the street, and just a neighbor, and just started coming every once in a while, sometimes more often than other times. But she said that she was moving to Ventura to attend college for 2 years, and so she's going to be gone. She made it sound like she wasn't going to, like she's leaving in about a week and a half, and we weren't going to see her anymore. So I don't know any more than that. So I hopefully, when she finishes whatever education she's doing, she'll come back and see us. So if you wonder what's happened to her, that's the story. Going to continue back in the book of Hebrews and the subject, things that are better. Kind of got sidetracked for a moment, and rightly so. We spent a couple of weeks on the study of angels. And so now we're back to the theme that we're looking at in the book of Hebrews, looking at the word better. That word better is found about 12 times in the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. So the first time we looked at the word better in the opening study was just Jesus being better than angels. And now the next time the word better shows up is in chapter 6, verse 9. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. So that's where the lesson is. To get started, because some of these words, when the word better is found, it's difficult to give what, at least from my perspective, a point of view that is just with the verses surrounding where that word is found. And this is, again, just as in when we studied angels, all of chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Hebrews dealt with the subject of Jesus being better than angels. Well, when this one word comes along in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, there's a whole section that gives the reason why there should be better things of us. I'm going to go all the way back to chapter, I put this in your note, chapter 5, verse 11. And I'm going to read this to you, and you can follow along, so that you get all of the information. And then I've pretty much given you a verse-by-verse study of this section. So Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised or trained, depending on the translation you're looking at, their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Therefore, he just told you these brethren here in this section had not progressed beyond first principles. They're still in need of milk and to be retaught fundamentals. And so now he says, therefore, in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Or in other words, by God's help, we will move beyond these fundamentals. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. These are brethren. These are Christians. These are all synonymous words to describe what took place when you obeyed the gospel. So verse 4, again, those who were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In verses 7 and 8, he gives you an illustration from the seed time and harvest. He says God blesses the land, and the land that responds receives more blessings from God. But if the land does not respond correctly, it's burned. So verse 7, here's the parable or the illustration of what we've just read. Verse 7, for the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it, brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it's dressed, receives blessings from God. So if you respond correctly to the gospel, you receive more blessings. But here's the opposite, verse 8. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So God bestows blessings, but if you don't receive them correctly, do not respond rightly, and grow and produce, then there's an expectation of burning. Verse 9. But, here's our text, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So if you look in your notes and just notice the bold print and the bold heading, you see where we're going with this. He mentions these better things. First of all, he's going to give you the illustration of, you know, after so much time, we expect growth. Whether you planted a seed, or whether we have children, and we expect growth from them, or in the process of education, in many situations in life, there's an expectation of progress or growth. So that's his first point. By reason of time, this should have happened, and it didn't. So second, in next bold print, let's go on, brethren. There's the encouragement. Let's increase. In number 3 in your notes, they shall fall away. If you do not progress, this is the danger. Almost the probable expectation. Those that don't proceed, those that don't mature in faith, fall away. And then, so he says in our lesson text, or the main point of our lesson, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. What better things? The better things that when you look back, the better, it's something better than not growing. And then the better things are the ministry that you and I should be involved in. So that's kind of an overview of the lesson. Let's take a look at some of these verses in particular. So I put in your note just the illustration. When I was a youngster, and I'd misbehave, and I'd be called into question, typically my dad would say, and I can normalize when I'm typing these notes up, I mean, I can have to close my eyes. I can get a picture of me standing in front of my dad. One of the first words are, son or Brian, you know better than that. You know better. That's the lesson this evening. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. These brethren should have known better and did, and should have done better. So the message is, you know, when I was taught proper and appropriate behavior. When I didn't act accordingly, I needed a reminder. And also, improper and inappropriate behavior had consequences, as you would know. So these brethren in the text have become, in chapter 5, verse 11, dull of hearing. I mean, they were losing interest in spiritual things. With King James language, dull of hearing. But you're losing interest. You know anybody like that? But you just can't seem to persuade to come to Bible class or have a Bible study? involve themselves in friendship and fellowship, almost live a life of isolationism, lack of participation. Anybody like that? Dull of hearing? Lack of interest in spiritual things? Uh-oh. Y'all will have to have that warning signal. It'll beep, 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 beep. Ding, ding, ding. Look out. And at the other opposite end of our lesson is in chapter 6, verse 12, that ye be not slothful or sluggish. So the lesson text begins and ends with those descriptions or the exhortation. There's something better than that, than being dull of hearing and being sluggish or slothful. We want to know what it is. So the writer now gives them the bad news and the good news, and that they should know better. So here it is, back to point number one, your notes. My time here. For the time, so again, these brethren were moving in the wrong direction, and the writer gives four proofs for that. Four situations to say, by this time, you should be. So the first thing he says, you ought to be teachers after this amount of time. So they had plenty of time to develop, plenty of time to mature, but they're still unable to teach others. Now, it doesn't mean to stand in front of a class. It doesn't mean to lead a situation like I'm doing right now. But rather, just simply to be able to tell others the good news of the gospel. And sad to say, these brethren were still in need of instruction in the basics. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you, and answer him with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. These brethren could not do that. So he gives them a rebuke. And again, the point is, point number two, if they persist in that, they will fall away. Second, or the next one down, you have become such as have need of milk. After all this time, we're still giving milk. If you had a child or a baby or a small animal, and it's still on milk, you say, uh-oh. Not strong meat. These brethren couldn't digest the more mature matters of Christianity. They needed to repeat first principles again and again. The next line is, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. So they're old enough by reason of time. The writer just said that. After so much time, ye ought. But these are not able. They couldn't handle spiritual matters. They couldn't move forward in the word. And then the last one, under point number one, in the paragraph I've written out for you, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, where the senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. These brethren could not do that. They had not been spiritually exercising, they had not been spiritually training themselves in the word, therefore they were not able to discern between good and evil. How sad. And that's a warning for today's Christians. We're constantly being bombarded by new things from the world. And if we have not exercised ourselves in the Word, if we have not grown, if we have not matured in the Word, we will fall for what the world is offering. That's the warning right here. Immature, unlearned Christians, babes, are duped into going along with the world and thinking they're on the right course. Oh, how sad. So that's point number one. After a certain amount of time, you should have matured more in the faith. So now, he says in chapter 6, verse 1, let's go on to perfection or maturity. Leaving the principles, not laying again the foundation, are the phrases. First thing necessary, I'm putting your notes, to building a building is to lay a foundation and to lay it well. If you don't lay a good foundation. So certainly we want to spend some time on first principles. We want to spend time on fundamentals. But it would be, and I'm putting your notes, absurd for one to keep forever laying the foundation and proceed no further in the structure. The foundation, the principles, are laid in order to support the not go on to the structure. Leaving, not laying, does not mean we abandon these things. It means we move beyond these things. We go on. My illustration is when we went to school and learned the ABCs, and that was fine. We certainly needed them. That's foundational. That's fundamental. But then when after you've learned the ABCs, you have that letter recognition, then the next thing we teach our youngsters are to put putting those letters together, they form words. After they get a little longer in those elementary school grades, then we say, oh, those words form sentences. And then those sentences form paragraphs. Those paragraphs form essays, and so on. But even when you have written an essay, you haven't left the ABCs. You haven't abandoned ABC, but you don't keep going back to say, oh, I need to study letter recognition. No, we move beyond that and use those fundamentals and use that foundation material to progress to paragraphs and essays. See? Same thing with Christianity. We lay a foundation and then we move beyond that. He says, this will do if God permit, meaning with the help of God, we can mature and we can study, you know, meaty topics. Number three in your notes, if they shall fall away. So now the writer presents a picture of where these folks are headed if they don't get back on track. If these brethren do not grow, if what's going to happen to them if they remain as babes? After all this time, what's going to happen to them? Well, the first thing he does is list all the blessings they are on the verge of losing. So now he reminds them, do you know what brought you to the place where you are right now? You know, as a Christian? So he kind of gives a little, again, first principles, fundamentals. So you were once enlightened, meaning you were converted, brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were enlightened. You tasted the heavenly gift. Ephesians 1 verse 3, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're certainly blessed. We partake of the heavenly gift. We are tasted of it. We are partakers of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13, in whom, meaning in Christ. Also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we are partakers of God's Spirit. Verse 5, we've tasted the good word of God. That was preached to us. It was taught to us. We've experienced the precious promises of God that was offered by the power of God in the gospel message. So we've experienced that too, and the powers of the world to come. For these brethren, they no doubt witnessed the evidence for truth, meaning the miraculous signs and the miracles that were there to confirm the truth. And so now they lived in that era or that dispensation of power. Yeah. So Paul, the Hebrew writer reminds them of that. This is what happened. You were taken from not being a Christian to being a Christian, and this was part of that process. And so now he says in verse 6, and if it's impossible, after all that's taken place, if you fall away, to renew you. So now he's saying, you should know better. You should know better. Impossible to renew them. I put just a little explanation, not complete. It wasn't my purpose to give you a huge dialogue or lesson on each verse of this, but at least to introduce the topic. In other words, if you reject all the things that God has sent to bring you into right relationship with Him, then it's impossible for you to turn things around and return, because God's not going to send you anything else than what He's already sent you to bring you into that right relationship. You've tasted, and now you've rejected that sole means of salvation. There's not, put in your notes, there's not a plan B. There's no alternate route. There's no new addition to be given later. The message you reject is the only one that we have to present to you to bring you back. So here is someone that's not a Christian, and we presented them the good news message, the power of God that saves. They accepted it, all those words, they were enlightened, they tasted, they partook, they tasted. And so now they're on God's side, and then they fall away. They go back to what they had before. It's impossible to renew them, because what am I going to offer them? Except that which I offered them the first time, to bring them from an unsaved situation to a saved situation. I'll give you an illustration. Years and years ago, I liked cream of mushroom soup. With one time that I had cream of mushroom soup, and for some reason that evening, I don't know if it was a mushroom soup or not, but I got ill. I've never eaten cream of mushroom soup again. Now, I've had cream of mushroom soup on meat and other things, but not just a bowl of cream of mushroom soup. You offer me a bowl of cream of mushroom soup, you know what I'm going to say? I've tasted that, and I don't like it. So there was a time when I didn't know anything about cream of mushroom soup. It was offered. I tasted it. I liked it. Got sick. I fell away from it. Moved back. Now, what are you going to offer me? There's no other soup is not going to work. It's cream of mushroom soup or it's not. You offer me cream of mushroom soup, I'm going to say, no, I don't want that. I tasted that and I didn't like it. So here's someone that is not a member of the New Testament church, not a Christian. You preached them the gospel. They were enlightened. They tasted. They partook. They tasted all those words at the beginning of chapter 6. And then fall away. I can only offer them what I offered them the first time. That's why it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. I have nothing else to give them. There's not an altar. Oh, you didn't like the gospel plan? Here's something else. There isn't anything else. That's why it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. See? Is that understandable? Clear? And when they do that, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. In other words, they judge Christ as an imposter, just as the people did when they crucified Christ. He's not our king. They have little regard for Jesus and his teaching. Yeah. Jesus is not king. He's not the Messiah. No, I fall away. Well, I believe that at one time, but no, I tasted it. It doesn't taste good now. No, I don't want it. Impossible to renew. That's the only thing I can offer you back, is what I offered you the first time. Then he gives the illustration of the lambs and the rain in verses 7 and 8. Christians are represented by the lamb. The rain's a figure of God's blessing. So what you do with God's blessings, meaning the gospel presentation, will determine if you're going to be blessed or be burned. That's the two-verse parable, verses 7 and 8. So now number 4, the last one in your notes. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. What better things? He's saying there's something better than being dull of hearing. There's something better than falling away. There's something better than being sluggish. Something better. And things, then he mentioned things that accompany salvation. These are the better things. Things that accompany what took place in those early verses of chapter 6. The enlightenment, the partaking, the tasting. So now we're persuaded better things than you falling away. We want you to progress to these kinds of things. And God's not unrighteous to forget these things. Your work and labor of love in verse 10. So your involvement in the ministry, your involvement in service. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. I didn't put that one in your notes. I didn't put any of these in your house. But 2 Thessalonians 3:13, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, you can get tired of working, or from working, but don't get tired of working. Be not weary in well-doing. You can get tired from doing well. I need to stop and take a rest. But when you do, get back up again. Don't ever get tired of doing a good work. Don't ever get weary of doing a ministry. Stop and rest, but get back up and say, I'll never do that again. No, don't be weary in well-doing. God's not unrighteous to forget that. And you showed that thing that you showed in his name. In other words, you gave God the glory. You've ministered to the saints and do minister. You've served brethren. Minister. Verse 11, every one of you show the same diligence. There's a danger in stopping this ministry. There's a danger in not doing this. These are the better things. To the full assurance of hope unto the end. So don't stop. Hang on.
our faith without wavering. And then he mentions in verse 12 that you be not slothful. Don't be sluggish. In other words, don't be eager to bail out. Don't be eager to quit. Don't run to stopping. But be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So be followers of them who through faith. And so yes, that's the Old Testament faithful who took on the promises of God. So by faith Abraham, it's all of Hebrews chapter 11. So by faith Abraham had seen the promised land, but he left. He journeyed, and all the other ones that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Be followers of them who through faith and patience, they held fast through the tribulations, through the trials, and then they inherit the promises, so they reap the benefits from finishing the course. And that's the lesson of that single verse in verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Progress beyond the fundamentals and the foundation's material. Grow on. I'll put Hebrews 10 verse 38 for a closing. Hebrews 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But ye are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. See the danger of falling away? No pleasure from God, and perdition, and it's not the saving of the soul. So beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. Next week, Lord willing, next Sunday evening, the love Melchizedek, chapter 7, where it says the less is blessed of the better. So, and again, that single phrase takes in about 14 verses by way of explanation. I won't just give you the single verse and a quick summary. So, next week, Melchizedek, Lord willing. I might have to do a sidetrack on because Jesus is our high priest. I might have to do a whole lesson on just what does a high priest do. So we'll see. Our apostle and high priest. So a couple things. All right. Always again, close of a lesson. We sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you have not obeyed the gospel, that's the invitation right now. That's we're inviting you to obey. So let's stand together and sing the song that Jesus collected.